Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised how many people had the same things. I'd ask you all how many you had neck pains, but it would be most of you. Praise God. Now listen. Bible says if you call upon the elders and have them pray for you, you shall recover. Sometimes there's an instantaneous healing. Sometimes you got to stand. Sometimes you just got to fight it. Just like I preach this. Y'all know this. I preach this. And I've been living with this for a while. And I'm like, what gives? And finally I was like, I'm done. I'm done. It had to finally get to a point. I'm done. I said, I take a stand against you right now. And it was my left arm that, you know, I'm right-handed. So it should have been my right arm. I know how I damaged them from 4 years of doing 1,000,001 pull-ups and push-ups. But my left arm was not ever as bad. And then it's been the only arm that's been bothering me. And when I spoke to it the other day, it hasn't bothered me. The right arm did. I was like, are you kidding me? No, you don't get to do this. Stand and believe. You keep doing everything. When God moves upon you to do something that's out of your range, you keep doing it. Speak life to the joints. Speak life to the nerves. You may have to do that. Like I said, this, whatever came upon the planet, we're not the only people that got affected like this. I do not believe for 1 minute that this thing was straight up what it was supposed to be. It was meant to kill. Because why else would you make it cross over from animals to man? Except man was never geared to fight it. Except a good God. So do that. A couple real quick things she wanted me to go over there. You got, most of you got your sheet. Please read it. Also, there will be next Sunday, Kayla Haycock will be prepared to take photos of you and your family for the new membership directory. That's next Sunday.
Huh?
Yeah, member specifically. And also, the thing is out there for assistance in the nursery. Please read this. And then there is a meeting on the 7th of May for all nursery assistant caregivers. And if you're a married couple, only one of you needs to attend. But we need to make sure we have information getting passed straight down the lines and stuff. So there she is. She's behind me. Michelle's going to be orchestrating that. So please make note of that. And my wire moved. Sometimes it's good to be wired. Sometimes it's not. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for what you're doing right now in this body. I thank you. You're healing people. You're touching them, Father God. You're filling them with your peace and your presence right now. Now, Lord, I thank you for the tithe and offering. Lord, I bless it. I call it blessed. I call your word as testament to it, and that it will stand the test of time. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. I know they've been so good. When you got little ones in there saying, hey, we're a half hour over. Yes, God bless you nursery workers today, because they are already ramped up. Oh yeah, that's good. Well, I'm glad to see y'all didn't wear yourselves out yesterday. It was so tempting, wasn't it? Just went out and was like, what do I start? You know, we went out and I was having our coffee yesterday morning on the deck, and it's like, ooh, we tried that once before, and it's like, okay, it's just a little too cool out here yet. I mean, it's cool when you're wearing your robe and blankets, and so yesterday we went out, and it's like, and I forget what time it was, but the wind was blowing from the north. That's never a warm wind. I don't care if it's July. And anyhow, we were sitting out and said, you know what? I think I need a refill, and I'm going inside. So I was running around in flannel shirt and stuff, and I was like, so I put another flannel shirt on, put jeans on and everything, got my boots on, went out, stepped. As soon as I stepped off the porch, it's like, okay, that was less than an hour ago. Start taking the shirt off and moving stuff. And it wasn't much longer after that. I went in and took the jeans off and put on my shorts. But it seemed like yesterday, everything I went to do just kind of turned to bah. I started mowing the yard. Every time I'd go up the barn bank, the mower would shut off. I'm like, what gives? We just mowed all this the other day. I think there's dirt in the tank. Again. Except we just filled the tank, so it's going to be fun. Then I thought, well, later on, we talked with Jesse a little bit yesterday, and then I thought, well, I gotta get my deck washed. That was the plan yesterday. You know, I'm going to wash the deck so it can be drying today, and maybe sometime this week, if it's still dry, I can get it stained. I go to get my pressure washer, set it all up, went to hook the hose up, and it's broke. The pressure washer. The part, you might as well just go buy a new pressure washer. It's expensive. I was like, well, there goes, shoots that in the foot. Now what am I going to do? Go out and work on my tractor. That was the only thing that seemed to work out right yesterday, was working on my tractor. I don't get it. I'm like, God, I want to. I kind of need to, but I kind of need to mow the grass. You know, they'll be baling it in the middle of the week here if I don't. But you know what? It was a good day. Got together with family, had a good time. Sometimes it's easier just to go with what God has. Amen? Because you know what turned out? The broken pressure washer turned out to be kind of a blessing. I ain't going to lie, I wasn't thrilled when I saw it. But I got a new one. It's got 1,000 more PSI. You do not run that one over your foot. It will cut your foot off. But I also got one of those little thing brooms that you put on the end of it, and you can walk in it and clean your deck, your sidewalk. You don't have to do little swaths like this. It does it nice and pretty. I'm going to try it anyhow. All right. Not everybody settled back down. We're going to keep moving in the lines of pride today, because there's many aspects of pride that we get caught up in. We don't realize they're pride. We just don't realize it. A couple weeks ago, I believe I started talking about, you know, poor people. Poor people are as prideful as rich people. And that's why I said something about all the junk they got an old junk car. It may be worth $10,000 because of what it is, but they won't get rid of it because I'm going to restore that one day. Okay, if somebody's willing to give you $10,000 for a junk car right now, what's it going to cost you to restore it? Do you know what it costs to paint a car right now like that? $10,000. Around $10,000. So now you're $10,000 in the hole and you haven't put the new motor, wheels, brakes, interior. And somebody wants to give you $10,000? It's because it's a status symbol. See, where I'm from, and parts of where I'm from, and we actually had a friend of our family years ago who was from another state south of the Ohio River. Not exactly the same state as me. He said, my idea of prosperity. He said, I've got an engine hanging from the tree and three cars on blocks. Seriously, dude? That's your idea of prosperity. That's what he was proud about, was having junk hang around. Listen, when we moved back here, we didn't exactly have the prettiest house in the county. It wasn't even the prettiest county house for probably two or three counties. I said it needed a grenade in the middle of it and run. Blow the thing up and get out of it. The ceilings upstairs, I could do this to the ceiling. I walked into the trim of our bedroom door. So it was right here. That one, and by the way, the landing was only yay by yay, and then it was the steps. And I walked into that, and oh, man, that was an eye-opener. But I never let the place look like a dump. The landlord said, "We are so sorry you guys are going, but we understand because we bought a house. The barn was leaning it had moved 6 inches into 3 years we lived there to the north. Somehow it's still standing today. I think somebody added metal to it. But I never found pride in that, in looking like I was poor. Bible says it's not a sin to be poor, but it might as well be. You might as well, because you end up in as much pride. Well, we pull people. We do things our own. We don't help. We don't accept help. Anybody ever hear that? I don't take charity. Does anybody know what the word charity actually means? Love. King James puts it, now abides faith, hope, and charity. It simply means love. Now, you can't accept it. Well, I think you're prideful. But let's look at some things real quick. Because, okay, if those things abide in charity, which is called what we call a helping hand, doesn't mean somebody's looking down on you. And if they are, shame on them. And that's why I tell people, don't ever let anybody else, what somebody else thinks of you, define who you are. I am not my family. I have family that is good, and I have family that's not so good. And they choose to live like that. And when I say not so good, I mean they grow things in their garden that are not legal in many states. They peddle things that are not legal. But then I have school teachers. I have people in medical, law enforcement, teachers. Many different faculties of life. But that doesn't define who I am. They don't define me. God defines me. I don't care. You know, I found myself the other day, I saw something that was, what was it, 10 billionaires who drive surprisingly cheap cars. You know, most of us remember Ross Perot. You know, little guy running for president way back in the day. First billionaire to run for president, footing his own bill. He's like, I don't need the money, but I am a businessman. Well, you know, you just had this little business. Yeah, and he sold it to GM, and that's why he's a billionaire. He held the business together long enough to be able to make it to where GM said, we want you. But you know what he drove? Now, keep in mind, y'all, this was in the early 90s. It was a 1988 Cutlass Sierra. You know, it's a car that you handed down to your kid because it was wore out or rusted out. That's what he drove. And so many of these really wealthy people, I think it's Ann Walton, she drives a 1989 F-150 because her dad drove an F-150. They have it in a museum, totally restored, 79, because it's what her dad drove. And I thought, no, I ain't saying she ain't got a jet. I mean, come on, if you're worth $62 billion and you don't have a jet, I would have a jet. I just tell you straight up, it might be an F-22, but I'm going to get there really fast. But see, as we've been talking, is how pride actually relates is how we treat each other. How we begin treating each other. I believe you said it was Jeremiah Johnson on TV the other day. He was talking about the main message for today. You know, everybody's wanting, we need revival. We need revival. We want to jump. We want to shout, right? I do want to jump. I do want to shout. I want to praise God that people are healed. Just like I felt when that tractor fired up. Whoa! I mean, man, I'm out there and like I'm buzzing. I'm like, it's alive, man. It's running. Did you know how many days I almost wanted to cry? It was such a good time. And it has started up ever since. And sometimes the first couple days I just got in start, make sure it was going to start. And it wasn't all a dream. But he said, the defining message I think that should be in the church today, he said, and we're going to see it more and more and prevalent. And if you've been listening to the messages here, how to treat your spouse, how to treat your family, how to treat people. How did you treat those people? One, because guess what? If you read the separation of the sheep and goats, that's how he separated them. Because he said, he talked about two different churches, two different brides trying to vie for the attention. There's one that's going to treat each other like they're supposed to be treated, with respect and with love. And then there's the one that's like, you know, I'm the preacher. Y'all, you just need to bow down right now. You know, when I walk down the aisle, you need to part. No. That stuff's garbage. So, but one aspect of pride that, you know, we got to talking about earlier in the week was something that people don't think is pride. I don't want to bother people. Right? Have you ever told yourself, I just don't want to bother them? If you need prayer, understand something. That's my job, is to take care of you, to pray for you. By all means, call, send a message. I will be praying. Joe sent me a message the other day, and I was praying, but I said, I will pray for, lay hands on you on Sunday. Did not imagine at that time that God was going to move on so many people. And so many people exactly had the same neck pains and other issues from COVID. But one of the things is, I don't want to bother them. I don't want help. Well, okay. I get it. Sometimes it is easier just to do it yourself, right? Have we figured out yet that if we don't teach the next generation how to do things, ain't nobody going to know how to do things? If we don't teach the next generation how to change their oil, I don't even change my own oil anymore. It's cheaper to take it to the dealer than it is for me to pull it in my shop, jack the truck up, crawl up underneath there, drain the oil, pull the filter out, buy the oil, buy the filter, and put it in, load it, drop it down, pull it out, and then get rid of the oil. And I got a free place to get rid of it, and I don't pour it on the ground. Just put that one to bed. It's recycled. But it's cheaper for me to do that, and they'll rotate my tires. Imagine the revelation. I'm like, okay, so it cost me $10 more maybe. It's worth it, man. Not to have to lay on the hard ground. And. But then there's things, well, I just don't want any help. You know, I offered this guy my help one time, and he needed it. And I said, you know, is there anything I can do to give you a hand to help you out here? Because there was a get-together happening there, and he was in the way. He was at the front door and needed a helping hand. I told so-and-so I don't need help. I looked at him, and I said, and I ain't so-and-so. He got the message. Well, that's what you said. Now, he did finish it eventually. But the point was, he's somebody who can't teach. You have to be able to teach somebody something. You do understand that that is why in the Jewish tradition, once a boy was weaned, and once he was, after about three, he went to work with daddy. And daddy taught him two things. First one was God's law. He taught him the word of God, the best that he knew. And he taught him a trade. He taught him how to do things. We rely on our school teachers to teach our kids a trade. You teach history, you teach science. And we got math. Okay, yeah, there's a few fields that can work in that, right? I always thought I'd love to be an archaeologist. Man, I love digging up things. I love finding garbage. And I mean, I will literally go in barns that say, do not enter. There was one across from the campground up here years ago, right by the river. I mean, the thing was falling in. And they gave me permission to go in there. I'm like, I really shouldn't be in here. I know this because it's already down. But man, I came out with all kinds of stuff. And then one day, 2 years ago, I think it was, 2 or 3 years ago, I met a guy. He was there trimming the trees around my, from the power company, around my transformer. And we were talking, and he was the ground guy. I mean, it was his job to pick up the sticks. And we were talking, he said, do you know what my actual job is, what I'm trained in, what I went to college for? I said, what's that? He said, archaeology. He said, you know what I discovered about archaeology? I like to eat. He said, if you ain't a college professor with a college backing you, you ain't eating. So he said, here I am, cutting trees so I can feed my family. I said, well, thank God I didn't spend all that time going to school to dig up bones to not get paid. So we have to teach people. We have to have help on things. Let's look at Ecclesiastes real quick before, because I don't want to get too long-winded today. It is a beautiful day. I want you to enjoy the day God created, because I know I'm going to. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I should have added the 10 then. I knew I missed one. He said, and a threefold cord is hardly broken. In other words, you need other people. You are not an island. And islands disappear. Just keep that in mind. All those people living on Hawaii. Oh, hey, I know it's a gorgeous place. Do you know there are no native snakes to Hawaii? None. Guam, there were no snakes on Guam until the Japanese. None. Now they got so many stinking snakes that they hang from them and they fall on people. But Hawaii is an island brought up by a volcano. Well, let's be real. What happens if that volcano should decide to go active again? I mean, remember a couple years ago they were watching lava come down at people's houses? What if the whole thing goes boom? Then what? But two are better than one. This is the Bible. This, right, by the way, this is the same author of the book of Proverbs. You know, the wisest man that anybody's ever known. That he got his wisdom from God. And even God in the beginning said, it's not good for Tim to be alone. I'm going to give him a helpmate. Somebody to help him. We didn't, you know, guys, we didn't know we needed so much help, did we? Y'all can laugh. I get lots of help. But, I mean, yeah. We are good for each other. All right, next. I believe it's Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him. Now, I'm going to stop right there real quick, Jason. It says pleading with him. In the NIV, anybody know what pleading really means? Kind of begging? Asking. The NIV reads it this way. A centurion came to him asking him for help. You need to understand the centurion was like a captain, okay? An O3 in the Army and Marines and Air Force. He's an O3, he's a captain. He's over about 100 people who are loyal to him if he's a good captain. And this man comes to him and he is pleading. He's asking Jesus for his help. Y'all understand, this is a man who doesn't go to a Jew to ask him for anything. Because in his mind, a Jew is not worth licking the bottom of his sandal. And here he comes to Jesus, the King of the Jews. All right, next. saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, here it goes, I am not worthy. Do you understand how humble of a man this was? First off, he's already humbled himself to go to a Jew. Second, he says, I'm not worthy that you'd even come to my house. Jesus wanted to go to the guy's house. He said, I'm not worthy. He humbled himself in his mind below a dog. That's how they treated the Jews. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Next. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to this and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. His brain went tilt for a moment. I can just imagine him standing there looking at that guy. You're a Roman. We're under Roman occupation. I'm a Jew. First off, you came to me. You humbled yourself to come to me. And then you tell me you're not worthy that I'd come to your house. More than likely, his servant was a Jew. But here's the thing. This man had such charity, compassion, or simply put, love for this servant and his household, that he humbled himself to come to the master. Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In all of Israel, there was nobody who had shown Jesus that kind of faith yet. You know what? The Son of Man is coming back to look find on this earth. Because he said it. When the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? Or will he find people that believe in a myth? They're comfortable living lies instead of living faith. I can be healed. I don't have to be sick. I can be restored in my mind. My God loves me. This world was turned over to us. We're the ones messing it up. Quit blaming that on God. We are the ones doing it. Partly the church, because the church is still fighting over whether they got to be wealthy, 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 or poor, poor, poor. How about we take money out of the equation, give God our tithe, and not worry about it? Sow seed when he says to sow, and reap the harvest abundantly. Not such great faith. Here is a man who humbled himself. A man who should have been arrogant. A man who should have been so full of pride, I don't need you. And you know what Jesus had to say because he humbled himself? I have not found such great faith. You know what that tells me about the end times when it says, will the Son of Man really find faith? It's because we're not going to be humble. We're going to be proud. Well, we don't need nobody else. We don't need no... Y'all do realize the church has started having to side with the likes of Kid Rock. He's a conservative. Those of you that did not know that. Oh, I don't side with him. Yeah, you did when you voted for Trump. When you vote for any conservative, it's what he's been doing. He's not the only one. And just because you voted for Trump doesn't mean you're evil. I did. I don't care that you know that. God told me he was going to win before he even said he was going to run. So I'm like, I don't have to go to rallies. I don't have to go do this. I don't have to worry. God already told me he's going to win. That's who I was to vote for. So I did it. Voted for him the second time. He got robbed in my book. But that's a whole big debate. So let's not go there. But the church is so proud. Look at what we do in the community. They put up billboards. Do you get that? Jesus, the Bible tells us don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Let others blow you the trumpet. You don't need to be walking down the street like, you know, a Dixieland jazz band blowing your trumpet. Hey, look at how good I am. You need to walk down the street and somebody on the other side of the street starts pointing. So if they're pointing at you, there's one of two things they're pointing at you for. Either you did them wrong or you did them right. And they're saying, hey, you know what? I remember that Miss Faye. I remember her. I remember that woman. She did this for me. She didn't have to. Or, I remember Joe. He was my football coach. No. I get it, man. Sometimes when boys do not listen, you got to take off the nice hat, put on the smoky, and let the drill instructor out. It gets their attention. And then you put your training hat back on. Jesus did it, by the way, several times. So don't think, oh, you're just a mean person. No, and Jesus had to say, how long do I got to be put up with you, Tim, until you have faith? That's how he was. And you know then what he did? He turned around, he loved them, and they went fishing. He didn't hold it against him. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Do I need help doing everything? No. Do you know what the hardest part for me, in 19 when I broke my back, what the hardest part for me was? Accepting help. I had grown up, you got to be self-sufficient. Well, I couldn't be self-sufficient. I couldn't lift a bag of sugar. 5 pounds was as much as I was supposed to be lifting. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just had a granddaughter. And I said, back, broken back or no broken back, I'm holding that baby girl. Because it wasn't for long after that, she didn't want anything to do with me. She wanted grandma. But now she loves her papa. But the hardest part for me was to accept help. And when a group of guys came in the rain and they split and stacked firewood for me, that spoke so much. And you can ask them, I was out there, I'm walking around, but I mean, all I could do was walk around and periodically I'd pick up a log. And I remember Tim said, are you supposed to be doing this? No. But you got to let me do something. And they did, and then I realized that maybe I better not. I better go sit down. I was hurting. And I go sit down for a while and then come back out. And I felt bad because it's raining. It wasn't supposed to rain that day, the last I knew. And the next thing you know, it's November and it's raining. So you know it wasn't like it was a June or July rain. It was cold. It was nasty. And they were out there splitting and stacking that wood, and they got it all done. That's a hard thing to ask people. But you know, and actually I didn't ask them, they volunteered. They organized it and they said, we're going to do this. Because, you know, and my sons were there and they went out and they helped. We have got to realize, sometimes we just got to stop saying, I don't need help. Yeah, I do need help. You know, it's one thing if you broke down on the side of the road and somebody said, hey, do you need help? It's on its way. Got it. That's one thing. No, I don't need help. The car just shut off and I don't know why. Well, if you don't know why, you need help. That's all there is to it. Do you need a phone to call a tow truck? Today, most people don't, but we refuse to ask for help because of our pride. We've been taught that it's a sign of weakness to ask for help. And it's not. This centurion, a man of great faith, by the words of Jesus himself, was a mighty man of God by those standards. Daniel chapter 6. This scripture right here, I'll read it to you and then I'll tell you the story. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. The word supplication, anybody guess what it means? Seeking God for help. Do you know what just took place? A declaration signed by King Darius that nobody was to worship anybody but him. Nobody could pray but to Darius. It was a trap. Daniel knew it. So what did Daniel do? He went back home and he prayed. He went to seek God for help. The very act that he was doing, by the way, seeking God for help, is the very act that condemned him to the lion's den. Know this, that when the world sets a trap for you, they are going to look for you. And they watched him. They were peeping toms. They were voyeurs. Perverts. Looking through his window. Man's trying to have a private time in prayer. And they're over there. Yep, he's praying. Nobody asked the spies, how did you know Daniel was praying? He was in his home. Now, here's the great part. Those who keeping track of the story. Daniel got thrown into the lion's den. Angel of the Lord went down there and shut those lions up. When they rolled that stone over, they expected to find his clothes torn here and there. Darius, the first thing in the morning, he went running out there, had that stone. Daniel! Now here's an amazing thing. Are you still alive? Did your God deliver you? Yes, O king, he did. Threw down the rope, pulled him out, looked at the men, said, go get their families. Got their families, a whole lot of them went into the lion's den. And those were some hungry lions at that point because of the snack they were supposed to have had the night before. Well, the great I Am said, not today, boys. Keep that in mind. Even Daniel, great prophet of God, had to seek God. He wasn't on his own. If you don't know what to do, you can't get hold of people to help you, seek God. Even if it is the very act that's going to condemn you to a death. He knew where his faith was at. All right, I prayed, I sought God, I got thrown in the lion's den anyway. Now what? Trust God. Can you imagine how cool that really would have been, though? I mean, think about this. Do you know how many different types of lions there really are? There are lions that, like Scar, remember how black his mane was? They're extinct now, though, that particular type. But they were black. Their manes were black, and they were hairy, a lot hairier than Simba and Mufasa. Two different species, by the way. They were both lions, but one's the African lion and the other was a subspecies. But they were just a bit different. But to be in there with those lions, I've seen pictures in my grandma's old big old family Bible on the table. Same one that had Jonah being spit out and the baby being held up and divided. We always snuck and looked at that picture. What's wrong with us looking at the Bible, Mama? Oh, you don't need to see that. No, but I can read it and I can imagine it. And trust me, that picture's less gory than my mind was. But in there was a picture. He's white-haired. He was a white dude for some reason. Y'all figured this out. Middle Easterns aren't always white. Jesus, by the way, was not European. Wasn't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. White skin. He was dark-haired, possibly curly to a degree, dark-eyed, ruddy skin, and pretty much probably brown. So if anybody's got a racist bone in it, you need to get rid of it because, yeah, your God's not white. Now, God, Jehovah, I think he's He's probably a kaleidoscope. I mean, come on, look at us. Most of us in here, if they make us check a box on the on a survey or something, it's going to say Caucasian or white, right? But yet I'm sitting here looking, I'm like, okay, I got three people sitting right here, three different tones. Boop, boop, boop. Different shades. I don't see anybody. I'm looking for those that are bright red right now. Johnny, you're about the closest one. But to see that old man standing there petting a lion, a 700-pound cat. Now, I may not like cats, but I got respect for a 700-pound cat. And he's petting it. And the other ones are laying at his feet. And the angel of the Lord is standing in their midst. By the way, keep in mind, anytime it said the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it was referring to what we call the Son of God. Because in their language, they could only put the angel of the Lord. That's why it's capitalized. We have got to remember to accept the help. If it's been offered, take it. There's no glory in doing it yourself and getting hurt. Y'all ever have something inside your shirt? There it is. It's wrapped up around my shoulder. It's all that praying. I'll just keep it up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if y'all didn't hear him, he said all you had to do was ask for some help. Amen. So remember that. You're not doing anything but showing that you're prideful if you won't take some help. I can't pay my bills this week. God moves on. Somebody says, hey, can I give you some money? Oh, no, I don't need no money. Yeah, you do. That's why God told him to give it to you. And if they told him to give it to you and you didn't need it, do you know what that's called? Blessing overflow. Receive it. They need to sow the seed. God, I don't need it. So, y'all do understand how giving and receiving goes, right? Somebody has to give and somebody has to receive. Oh, no, I don't want to receive that. No, you got to. They've got to sow it, and God told them you. Receive it, bless them. And watch what God will do. If you'll trust him. Amen? All right, let's stand. Oh, goodness. Again, another reminder. Stand on your healing. Receive it. Just like every time that elbow decides it's going to go, I'm going to say, no. And by the way, I don't speak Elizabethan English to my body. I speak to it like it's a rebellious child. I don't think so. There are even times I've punched myself. So if you see me driving down, I'm just bringing my body into subjection. It's buffy. I'm buffeting my body, as the Apostle Paul put it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We are ecstatic, Father, for the sunshine and for the heat. Lord, we pray right now, first off, you help us not to overdo it. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for a glorious day. I thank you for what you're doing in each and every person today. Through the laying on of hands, Father, for those we stood in the gap for. Father, I thank you. You're healing them. You're touching them. I pray right now, Father, for continued strength. And bodies that need total restoration. And now, Father, I pray that we all receive the word. Even if something as simple as pulling a wire out of my shoulder. I could have asked for help. Lord, remind us all to receive the help when we can get it. Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them now, Father, as they go about this day, as they spend time with family and friends, or they just go home and take a nap under a shade tree. Lord, bless them in what they do, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.